Welcome to episode 174 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty. How are you going, fellas?
Going well, Jace. Going well. Had my 52nd birthday on the weekend. So it's amazing when you're 52, it's like you just want to have some Thai at a restaurant just with some family. Pretty low-key, a walk down in Warrandyte. So just, I think about the birthday parties 20 years ago and we used to have the white and tight nights. And all these raucous affairs as a young person in their 20s and early 30s, it's really tamed down. But feeling good, grateful to make it this far and hope I can get another 52 in. And thanks for the cake today, Nick. I was trying to slip under the radar and didn't get to do it. Nick found out and had a lovely cake there, so much appreciated, mate. How are you going?
I'm going well. I'm just feeling the effects of eating cake. I just don't eat much cake anymore.
No.
I don't know. Like, so it's, you find now when you eat something, you know, it was mud cake too. Plus, just FYI, Jase, I wasn't sure if the cake was big enough because on a Monday, it's touch and go as to how many people are in the office. So I looked at the big cake, I looked at the small cake. I'm like, So I got the small cake, assuming there wouldn't be a heap of people in here on a Monday, and two chocolate eclairs just in case we ran out of cake. I was a big eclair fan when I was a kid. So as much as I was getting Marty a cake, I was also sort of satisfying some of my own cravings. But yeah, I went for the eclair option. Started with the third of the eclair and then cut a bit more off. So I ended up having just over half. it was bloody good, but I'm feeling
sheer
it now.
Pleasure on Nick's face was good to see.
It's not used to eating things that dense and sweet midway through the day. But for Marty Vids, I'll take one for the team. And but it was good. He still blew the candles out with plenty of huff, so he's got plenty of time left.
Lost a tooth along the way trying to blow out the candle. Wasn't good. How are you, Jase?
No, good. It's just a birthday time. It was my brother's birthday on the weekend. It was my wife Casey's birthday over the weekend. Yes. So, there's just birthday galore. And then I'm always one of those people that start when there's a whole bunch of birthdays clustered together, I go, when were the parents doing this to make the babies happen? So I think, is it winter? So if we go back 9 months, it would have been winter. Yeah, anyway, let's not go there.
I can't believe you think about that.
Yeah, this is weird. I mean, I was conceived in the back of a car, so I don't need this to be brought up, really. So.
Well, it was winter. Your parents were trying to stay warm. It was winter. Maybe the heater
Coburg
was broken.
Driving. Yeah.
There you go. Heater wasn't working. You got to stay warm somehow. But anyway, we are back together. Our previous ep, we had Grant on from pay.com.au, bit of an interview style. So we booted Marty onto the sidelines, but we've got him back today. And Marty, you've got an interesting topic for us. I might just let you crack straight into it. What are we talking about today?
Yeah, I listened to a podcast. Nick actually sent it to me with Mark Boris and Paul Ruse on authentic leadership. And of course, when you listen to a podcast, there's things that you've heard before over the journey. But one thing I really like that resonated was lead as you would like to be led. And that really stood out for me in regards to, sometimes as a leader, and I think this happens in sports as well, you're given a leadership position and you feel like you have to step up to be a leader, and even though you might not exactly know what that entails. And he just had a really interesting way of discussing it and sort of bringing it back to you and saying, well, how do you like to be led as a person? And then within that, you'll discover your own authentic style of leadership. And yeah, I just thought it was a really, really great concept, and I wanted to unpack that today, because I guess as you are in leadership positions, sometimes you're more prone to focusing on how you're going to lead, but I think it gives you great insights of what you are as a leader as well. So yeah,
love it. I thought it was I didn't know you were going to come to the podcast with this until this morning, and I'm glad you did, because I took a lot from it. I think Paul Ruse is brilliant. I'm keen to unpack it.
Well, I'm thinking, I love learning from people that I connect with and I respect. I've always been that type of person that learns in real time, and I've always thought, you've got to see it to be it, I'm a big proponent of that. When you're looking at leaders, some of the best leaders, when you admired, even as footballers, let's say, when you were younger and you had their posters on the wall, you'd want to replicate the people that inspired you in some way, that's achieving a result that you would, you know, you'd like to achieve. Amazing how much you learn through that. But I think about the people I admire first externally, and I think about, for me, and I'll throw it open to you guys as well, you might have particular leaders that resonate with you. But for me, Roger Federer is always a person that really resonates for me, because he just loves the sport that he was in and wants to represent the sport at the highest level, not only in the way he plays tennis, in the way he practices, the way he presents himself to the media. I love the fact that he's got his wife and kids, and they're all a part of his journey, and tennis seems to be such a rich experience. And that might be because I love tennis, but I like sports in general. Agassi was always a great player, an amazing player, and I've read his book as well. But he had a lot of demons in regards to his journey, and I always admired Federer because he had some demons early on where he'd be smashing rackets and stuff when he was a youngster, but he really came through to have a real appreciation and respect for the game. And I always think about that in my own self, that I want to be that person, not bagging the industry I'm in or trying to battle through it and going, how can I represent my industry in the best possible light? Because I'm grateful that I'm in the industry that I'm in, because it's given me so many opportunities over time. And, you know, and Federer reminds me to be able to communicate that and not be embarrassed or anything, just to be able to communicate why I love the industry that I'm in. So he was one. The other one is Warren Buffett. I always like Warren Buffett, not so much about the money side of things, which does, yeah, it helps. I like his patience, and he has a methodology that he sticks by and has worked for, you know, over 80 years of investing. I just like the simplicity of the methodology. I'm sure there's a lot of complexities within that, but his ability to execute year after year, deal after deal, just from a capability aspect, I really admire. And the other person, the final person sort of on my human advisory board, is Trevor Hendy. Because Trevor Hendy always reminds me that we're fallible as people, and that we make mistakes, and that we can bounce back. And he always has a hunger to be able to learn more and be enriched by his learnings and to improve as a person. And he's kind of like a brother to me in many ways, where, you know, I can talk about my own weaknesses and inadequacies and feel safe in doing that. And he gives me guidance through that. And but he does that. He leads by example of that on his vulnerabilities. So for me, those three people are really models that I like for various different reasons, but it sets the premise of who I am as a person and as a leader. But I'll throw it open to you, Jace. Like, if you were choosing externally, like even if it's one or two mentors, whatever the case may be, who do you admire that you relate to out there, you know, in the general world?
It's a great question, and I actually don't know how to answer it. Like, I'm trying to think. Over the years of like growing a business and being a business owner and doing self-development, you know, I've always craved external education, you know, so going and seeing presentations, stage shows. I definitely love a speaker in a live presentation type environment. And, you know, I think back to some of the most impactful presentations I've seen in my life. And there was a guy called Warren Rustand. He was the first hand to the United States president at the time. I think it was George Bush, the older George Bush. And, you know, he did a presentation which, to this day, if I think about it, I still get goosebumps on the back of my neck. And it was around values and family values, or, you know, culture and how to, you know, harness and, you know, grow an organizational culture through values. But I can't like put it to, like the way, like hearing the way you described it, as, you know, Roger Federer, Warren Buffett and Trevor Hendy as like an, like almost like a fake board of people that you think of. The things that came to me as you were doing that were, you know, courage and vulnerability. I think of Trevor Hendy, And then Roger Federer was self-awareness and emotional intelligence. So, you know, the more that he became self-aware of his actions, you know, he didn't break rackets, he became mature. He had emotional intelligence of how his actions and reactions would cause other people to feel. You know, and Warren Buffett, I think about, you know, the integrity and the purpose and values behind how he conducted himself. So there's all different like little bits of across your little, you know, somewhat board that gets me to think about anything that I think of with authentic leadership. They're the different bits and pieces I bring in, but I can't pinpoint one person or a couple of people that make me go.
And that's okay. It's like, it's just an aspirational, like I think about even Roger's relationship with his wife. He met her through tennis, similar to Cole and I met through sports as well. But I go, and they've got, you know, they've got a family, they've got a successful family. Like even from a family dynamic, you know, I want to have a great family. So I, you know, I really admire that. Now, you know, Trevor has that as well, but has been through different circumstances where he has a second partner and that works. But it's and that's okay too, but it's different aspects of the people that I draw on board. So, Nick, what about yourself? Anyone that springs to mind for yourself? It's always a challenging one. But
I was just looking up the name of a particular book I read, because just first, what I really like what you said there is how you've got your – what'd you call it? Your people board.
It was like my human advisory board.
Your human advisory board. I really like that because I, you know, I started this business in 2007, and there was only myself and my business partner and one other person. So, I guess I've had to learn how to lead over time, and you know, made a lot of mistakes and still do make mistakes, but always trying to be better. So, I love what you said there because it's just got me thinking that, you know, leadership is a big thing and I do a lot of work on it, but maybe I need to, you know, actually silo it down to three or four leaders that I want to model myself on. But I was racking my brain thinking, okay, I need to come up with an answer for this because Marty's going to ask me. And the obvious one that came to mind for me was Phil Jackson. He was the coach of the Bulls and then the Lakers. I read his book, which is called 11 Rings, and whether you're in sport or if you're into basketball or not, that's an absolute cracking read. And a few things that stick out for me when we're talking about Phil was the first one is he brought some pretty unique methods to the NBA in coaching. And so, you know, there was courage, I guess, in the way that he brought those methods to NBA. And coaching, but the biggest one is just the way that he accepted different individuals for who they were and coached them in different ways. And you look at the Bulls and you've got, you know, Michael Jordan, obviously, and you've got Scottie Pippen and you've got Dennis Rodman. And the story that comes to mind is the Dennis Rodman story where they're in a final series. And everyone who knows the Bulls will know Dennis was a different cat and liked to party and liked do things his own way. And he actually let Dennis Rodman disappear for a couple of days in a final series and go to Vegas and party. And then sent, I think, Michael Jordan to go pick him up. And he just knew that's what Dennis needed. Now, he knew what Dennis's strengths were on the court, but he knew what Dennis needed to perform and he knew the type of individual he was. And, you know, he wasn't fitting into the same method that Michael Jordan was or that Scottie Pippen was, and he allowed for that freedom and he managed Dennis in a way that he knew he was going to get the best performance out of him, and that was okay, versus some leaders who are very black and white and it's my way or the highway, and then people are either on board and off board. And I think if you do that, you risk losing some people. Now, within reason, I'm not sure I'd let some of the staff, you know, go to Vegas and party for a big game, but that just goes to show how unique it was. And then I think about bringing in so many egos and bringing them together and taking Chicago from a pretty shitty side, to be frank, into, I think they won 6 or 7 championships. Jay, yeah, you might know that.
Six championships.
Yep. And then he goes to the Lakers and he brings together Kobe and Shaq, and you know, those guys didn't get along. So his ability to bring people together and get them to work to get work towards the same goal, I think, is incredible. And one of the things that I have learned, my biggest, I'd say it's probably my biggest lesson in business so far, is everyone is different and you need those different people in your business to progress. And everyone's got different abilities, different strengths, different weaknesses, and you have to manage them in different ways. And you have to let them have their own level of freedom so they can perform. And that's probably one of my biggest learnings. And even some young leaders in the business, you know, you might be a high performer, but someone might not be on quite on your level, and that's okay. But they've got other strengths that we can use to, you know, go forward towards the goal. So yeah, Phil Jackson's one I look at and I just think, how the hell did he do that? Particularly given the type of individuals he was dealing with, and to bring them all onto the same page is just an incredible skill set. So yeah, it'd be Phil for me.
I'm so glad you brought up Phil. He would have been my fourth selection. But just for the reasons you're describing, I lived through that Bulls era as a 20-year-old, and it was amazing, the hype in Australia as well as in the US, obviously. But exactly what you're saying, I think, you know, you learn so much in regards to having a set of principles that people stick by as a sporting club or as a business, but then the autonomy within that on how they achieve it can be very, very different. You know, two people can get to the same result in a totally different way. And how do you foster those individual strengths in order to, you know, engage them to a point where, you know, they feel inspired to achieve it in their way? It's such a, you know, that is a great book. So Phil Jackson is a legend. Love him. So glad you brought that one up.
With a little bit of time to think about it and just kind of, you know, wanting to at least throw a couple of names in there and be smart like you boys. You know, when I think about the leadership style of what goes through my mind and the type of leader I am, I'm definitely a big ideas, big vision, but I'm not the guy who'll execute these things. So I need to make sure I've got a team of people around me who are doers and smarter than me. And, you know, when I think about, you know, who would be people that I would look to on my human advisory board, you know, Steve Jobs and Elon Musk are kind of the big names that come to mind there. You know, Steve Jobs is well known for, you know, building talented teams, having amazing culture of innovation and excellence, you know, and with creativity, passion and attention to detail. You know, and again, I'm in the accounting industry, but I look at, you know, the brand of Future Advisory, the team around me are people that are, you know, very talented, great culture. We're always looking at different ways we can do things from an innovation point of view. And my team want to be excellent. They want to make sure our customers have got the best accountant and the best advice they can have in business. And then beyond that, you know, I think about Elon Musk is a bit of the cuckoo crazy one, but he's just crazy enough to have that big idea and get people to believe in that vision. And, you know, 6 or 7 years ago when Greg and I are like, yeah, we're going to start an accounting firm and this is what it's going to look like. And within a couple of years, we're going to have a team of 30 offices all over the country and we're going to be the Xero accounting partner of the year. And we said that the day we started the business, we're going to use Xero, and Xero technology is going to be the thing that underpins what we do. And we're going all in. And, you know, years later, we were able to achieve that. So that leadership style of, you know, willing to take risks, you know, having a bold vision, you know, and being hands-on. You know, Greg and I are in the business all day, every day, you know, surrounded by a team wanting to kind of G it all up and make things happen. So, you know, from that point of view as a leadership style. And then beyond that, you know, going to like a more close to home, we've had Adrian Hondros on the show before, and Nick and I did a leadership lesson through, or leadership course through Cub. You know, I always like have things that pop into my head about, you know, from Adrian's course where it's, you know, the three C's in leadership, you know, communication, context, and clarity. Anything that you're going to communicate to one of your team, if it doesn't have the three C's of context, clarity while you're communicating, things can go off course. And even, you know, the Berkman analysis of understanding your personality profile when you're a leader, to know your strengths and your weaknesses, to know the things that, you know, can cause you stress or you know, get you on a bad side. So heaps in there, but they're some big ones for me.
Yeah, fantastic, Jason. So here's a little exercise to do. This is about authentic leadership. So I asked myself the question, how I would like to be led, because that would divulge my own natural style. Rather than having to create a style, this is how I would see it. So for me, trust is really important. So secure foundations and consistency of conduct. So when I know I've got trust and I've got strength as a foundation, I feel like that's really important for me, how I like to be led. Clarity on what needs to be achieved, just what you were saying, Jace. Like, I just like to know what are the impact points that I'm really striving for, and then, you know, I know the parameters and then operate within that. So, you know, being led, love that. Feedback and guidance. I really like to get feedback on things, and I like guidance. When someone has an idea and they feel like it's a great idea or they think something can be done differently, love to hear that, because, again, I can cherry pick that and utilize it to best effect as a leader. So I love to be led by that. Perspective. I love different people's perspective in leadership because, like I said, I'm smart enough to know I'm not always smart and right. Right. So to actually hear other people's perspectives really gives me enrichment, knowledge, and another way of doing things that I might not have known about. So I really appreciate that. You know, encouragement of good performance. As much as I say I don't need it, it's actually nice when it happens. You go, well, it's actually good. And that's how I encourage others too. You know, when they do perform and it's relevant, I go, I'm big on that. So I go, I actually like to be led that way as well. To lead by example. I love when leaders are leading by example and I can learn from that, like the footballers used to do that I admired, or the cricketers, or in the sporting field. So when people are leading by example, I get excited. I know Nick Riley eats healthy every lunchtime. Leading by example, I've got to catch on to that. So, and parameters with autonomy to perform within it. As long as I have parameters, love the autonomy to achieve a result in my own unique way. And that's my individual character and flair. Happy to follow parameters. Don't like micro so much. It's like I feel like I'm almost suppressed in a micromanagement situation, and then I'm trying to appease the micromanagement instead of actually creating the result through my talents and abilities. And achieving a result that I admire. I love when someone achieves something and I go, wow, that's really impressive. Like even Matty Gibbs in the office the other day was helping, you know, Daniel, one of our asset finance guys, just on operational things. And, you know, the way he showed leadership in that moment in his role, it was just really encouraging given the capability he had and how he was willing to share it. So little example, but that resonates with me. I go, yeah, I really love that, adding to people's life. And I thought, oh, well, that being like to be led like that shows you the type of leader I am, and that's where I'm most authentic. So when I'm operating outside of that, I'm almost trying to be something that I'm not. You know what I mean? I'm trying to reach for something that I'm not in my leadership style. But when I really look at the things that I admire and how I'm led, it gives me a real indication to how I lead. And I thought that was a really great perspective for me to be comfortable with that. And that's led to some of the successes as long as I keep growing in that style. So, yeah. Resonate, Jace?
I love it. Yeah, definitely. And I think I've got some homework to go away and do. You know, I need to have a bit more of a think about people who I admire, how they fit on my human advisory board, to quote Marty. And then maybe even like, you know, it's been a while since I put pen to paper and done a bit of the journaling, but to write down how I like to lead or how I would like to be led, and then how I can work that into a bit of how I work with my team as well, to give a bit of love back to everybody and, you know, actually think about it, you know, be deliberate in my decision-making around leadership.
Yeah, they're all awesome points. I've actually given this some thought because I listened to the podcast myself, so I was thinking about it. And I've thought about it in regards to my learnings over the years and what I'm trying to do now. And for me, there's three key main points and, you know, how would I like to be led from what I've learned. And the first one, and you've already mentioned, is clarity. And I guess what I've learned more in recent times is being absolutely clear on what we're trying to achieve as a business and making sure that the leader, the other leaders in the business or everyone in the business is across that journey and is completely clear on where we're going and that they can connect to it. So that's been a big learning for me. Then following on from that is autonomy. So, you know, I've always prided myself on giving people the autonomy just to make things happen. And, you know, using people for their skill sets. You know, you're better at that than I am. You do it because you're actually, that's why I've chosen you to do it. So for me, clarity, autonomy. But the last one, and this is where I think I've fallen down in times, and this is something that I really like for myself, is accountability. And, you know, I think at the same time as a leader, you have to hold other people accountable. And I think if I'm looking at my own journey again, having business partners like yourself and Geordie actually makes me accountable now. And I really like that. I think I'm actually better since you guys have come into the business because I've now have someone to be accountable to. So they're the key three things for me: clarity, autonomy, but then accountability as well.
Yeah, fantastic. And accountability is, and again, it's, you know, everyone has the best intentions in accountability, and that's to progress and do well and get results and celebrate, right? So I think accountability is good because particularly it can make you vulnerable initially sometimes if that's the type of person you are, but it's good to be challenged in that way because you get new perspectives through it. So I think you're right, Nick. I think it's a great thing in order to grow as a business and as leaders. So, yeah, hope that resonated today.
Absolutely. Oh, well, I didn't listen to the podcast like you guys, so I'm definitely taking away some homework. Going to go have a listen to that one, re-listen to this, and think about leadership more from my point of view. Thank you for sharing, Marty. And thank you to our audience for tuning in again. Until next time.
Keep leading and be authentic. You're more than good enough. Game over.